Coming from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56, and that can be found in your blue Bibles on page 855 and 56. Yes, it's two pages. So once again, that is Luke 1, 26 through 56 on page 855. Please rise for the reading of God's Word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. But nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days Mary arose and went to haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and his holy name. And his mercy is for those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown great strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted those of humble estate. And has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jenna. Let me pray once more. Father, again, we give you thanks for calling us together. We thank you for your word. We pray that you might use it by the power of your Spirit to build up great faith and joy in our Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm probably not any good at predicting the future. But my guess is that one day historians will look back at our generation and say, "Those people were really funny about birth announcements." I mean, think about it. Announcing a pregnancy is kind of unnecessary. The thing announces itself, right? It's visibly conspicuous. And even if you have a hunch about someone, all you have to do is to wait a little bit. The truth will be revealed with crystal clarity. But in our day of Facebook and selfies, the expecting couple likes to stay one step ahead of everyone else. And so we post ultrasound pictures on Facebook. Fuzzy, black and white, amorphous blobs that would be unrecognizable if you didn't know it was in fact an ultrasound. Full disclosure, we posted those pictures. It's still on our fridge today. Or if there are other children, it's a picture of a kid wearing an "I'm a big brother" or "I'm a big sister" t-shirt, and everyone knows what that means. And I'm pretty sure that historians will find that the traditions of some of my family and friends in the South are the most over the top. There are gender reveal parties. That's right, you hear me. Gender reveal parties. there might be a cake that is either blue or pink on the inside. And you have to cut into the cake to discover if it's a boy or a girl. Or there might be a box brought out to the middle of the room. And as the box is opened, balloons rise out. And yes, the balloons are either blue or pink. It's a little over the top. But that's nothing compared to the birth announcement in our passage this morning. It's not a Facebook post. The angel Gabriel brings the news. A being from heaven who didn't look cute or motherly like the angels in the paintings or in the Hallmark cards. A being who had to say, "Don't be afraid," every time he had a conversation with somebody. And it's a birth announcement that doesn't come from the parents or from the mother, but it comes to the mother. And it's an announcement that isn't just joyful, but it proclaims God's favor and blessing to the mother and to everyone else. Favor and blessing. That's what Luke 1, 26 through 56 is all about. Mercy. Grace. The news of Jesus' birth is a proclamation of favor and blessing. Well, there are two scenes in our passage. There's the conversation between Mary and the angel, and then the conversation between Mary and her older cousin Elizabeth, who's 6 months pregnant this time with John the Baptist. And that second conversation ends with Mary breaking out into song. The song traditionally is called the Magnificat. It's from the first line of the song in verse 46, which says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And we've gotten the theme magnificence for this last Sunday of Advent here. It's the magnificence of the news, the magnification of God by people who receive the news. But before we get there, let's look at what the news is all about. You're beginning in verse 26. In the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And it came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, if Peter Jackson or Michael Bay were to make the movie from the scene, I bet you $1 million that the angel would get most of the screen time. The CGI would render him glowing and huge. James Earl Jones would do the voice of the angel. Probably a backstory about Gabriel fighting a horde of demons to get to Mary's house. But Luke doesn't care about all that. He's not interested in what the angel looks like or what he does. He's interested in what he says. What he says about Mary. What he says about her son. And what he says about Mary is that she has been favored. "Greetings, O favored one," he says in verse 28. "You who have found favor with God," he says in verse 30. Favor. Mary has found favor with God. Now, if you play with that word in your head, it might sound like Mary is God's favorite. She's the best young woman in all of Israel. She's God's favorite. When we put it that way, it almost sounds like Mary has won. She's the last contestant on The Bachelor. I don't think that's quite right, though. No doubt she's faithful. No doubt she is upstanding among her generation. But the word favor is actually the same word as grace. Mary has found grace. I think this is important because some of you come from a religious background where Mary is seen as someone who gives grace. You might have had pictures of Mary that were vital to your spirituality. You might have even prayed to Mary. But Luke doesn't say that she gives grace. He says that she receives grace. Grace. An undeserved gift. Favor from God that hasn't been earned. What grace is this? Well, verse 31 tells us, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Mary is favored by God to give birth to Jesus Christ. It's quite a gift, isn't it? Mary didn't win the annual Nazareth beauty contest. She wasn't the servant of God of the month, with her name on a plaque in heaven alongside all the other people who have won the award. No, Mary receives a gift unlike anyone else ever has. She'll get pregnant, and the baby in her belly will be someone special. And just in case we might be tempted to harp upon how great Mary must have been to receive this honor, the angel stops talking about her, starts talking about her son. This is the good news. This is why the announcement of her pregnancy is a proclamation of favor and blessing. Because verse 32 says, he will be great, called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He'll be great. It's not that ordinary lives don't matter to God. They do. Thank goodness to people like you and me. But Jesus won't have an ordinary life. And it won't do to call him Mary's son or Joseph's son. That wouldn't get close enough to the truth. He's the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. And he'll have a throne from which he'll rule forever. And his mother might be from a town which had the reputation of a place like Detroit. Sorry, those of you who are from Detroit. But he'll have the throne of King David. He'll be great. The Son of the Most High, sitting on the throne of David forever. Now, I don't think that these are three different characteristics of Jesus. They're all getting at the same thing. Jesus will be the king. Mary, the baby in your belly is royal. In the Old Testament, God had promised that one day there would be a king in the line of David who would sit on the throne forever. Not just have a long life with a long successful rule, but an eternal rule. This king would be a great king, not a forgettable politician. And he'd have a special relationship to God. He'd be his son. That's what the angel tells Mary. Mary, you'll give birth to a boy named Jesus. And this Jesus will be king. The long ago promised ruler of the people of God. The king who would protect and guide his people. Who will rescue his people from all their enemies. That's who this baby is. The king. That's why this birth announcement is a proclamation of favor and blessing. And I think it would be helpful for us to reflect on this proclamation. This announcement of the birth of the king. Christmas is 4 days away. How are you doing? Have you bought all the presents? Have you made your travel plans? Are you excited about your travel plans? Seeing all those people who share your DNA, but not much else? People that you're glad to see once a year, but glad you see only once a year? And of course, New Year's is around the corner. We think about the year ahead of us and the year behind us, which might have gone well, or maybe it didn't. In terms of what's happened all around the world this past year, from Ebola, and ISIS, and North Korea shutting down movie theaters, I say good riddance of 2014. But that's all out there. What about in here? How was 2014 for you? Some of you got married, had babies, got new jobs. It was a good year. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was a hard year, full of frustration and disappointment, or maybe out and out suffering. For one reason or another, as we prayed about earlier, the Christmas season might be a time when a thousand things are going through your head. But our passage invites you to stop for a moment, to put aside those distractions, to clear your vision, and to remember this one thing, that your king has come, the one who rules over you with power and kindness and goodness. He's here. It's good news. It's very good news. It's a proclamation of favor and blessing. And it's almost unbelievable. You've heard the phrase, too good to be true? Imagine if I pulled you aside after the service and I said in a low voice, listen, I was digging around in my backyard the other day and my shovel hit something hard. I thought it was a rock, but I kept digging. And it turns out it was a treasure chest. An actual treasure chest full of gold and diamonds. A pirate must have buried it there back when there were pirates sailing the Great Lakes. And you know, I was thinking, I'd like you to have the treasure chest. It's back in the back of my van right now. It's millions of dollars worth of gold and jewels. I want you to have it all. That would be news too good to be true. The likelihood of me finding pirate treasure in my backyard on the north side of Chicago is exceedingly unlikely. The likelihood of my just giving you the treasure is even more unlikely. It's too good to be true. Mary's first response to the angel is along these same lines. It's too good to be true. It's impossible. Verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? Mary knows the ways of the world. She knows the birds and the bees. The angel has said that she's going to have a baby, and she knows where babies come from. Well, the thing is, Mr. Gabriel, I don't meet the requirements for having a baby. This is great news, but, you know, there's just this one thing. The news is almost unbelievable. But the angel has a response to that. It has three responses, in fact. First, this conception will be a bit unusual. Verse 35, the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. In other words, the child will be conceived not by the usual means, the way you and I came into the world, whether we like to think about that or not. This conception will happen by divine power. The power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the child will be called holy. His origin isn't in sinful, broken flesh. He doesn't share in the guilt and the condemnation of Adam's rebellion like you and I do. He's different. He's the Son of God. The second response, verse 36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. In other words, God is in the business of making babies in exceptional circumstances. Elizabeth, your cousin, who knew the deep pain of infertility for so long, now, when she's past the age when women get pregnant, guess what? She's pregnant. This is what God does. And now he's doing something even more impressive. First, it was an infertile postmenopausal woman who got pregnant. Now, you, a virgin, will get pregnant. This is what God does. Third response. It sums up the point. Verse 37. For nothing will be impossible with God. Virgins don't have babies. It's impossible. It's unbelievable. But not with God. Nothing's impossible with God. The news is almost unbelievable, but Mary believes. Read in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. She believes. Not like Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, who didn't believe Gabriel when he had said that Elizabeth would get pregnant back in the first part of the chapter. Mary believes. That's what Elizabeth commends her for down in verse 45. Blessed is she who believed, she says. Mary doesn't give grace. She doesn't receive grace. She receives grace. And she isn't praised for how great she must be. She's praised because of her faith. I think this is one of the big aims of the passage. Luke is proclaiming news of favor and blessing. Why? So that you might believe. Like Mary. Jesus Christ is here. The Son of God, the King. It's news so impossible, so wonderful, it's almost unbelievable. Do you believe? Do you believe that God does the impossible, sending His Son in impossible circumstances to rescue people who are far too gone in their own rebellion, who are beyond the possibility of rescue? Do you believe? Mary believed. Do you? It's good news of favor and blessing. News that's almost unbelievable, but you should believe it. And it's news that's for everyone. Thus far in our passage, it's been really good news for Mary. The divine favor proclaimed in the announcement of Jesus' birth has been targeted at Mary, the favored one. But things start to change in the rest of the passage. The favor and blessing expands from Mary to everyone. To you. I think about when you see those birth announcements on Facebook, or when you get a call from a friend or a family member, and they tell you the good news. And you say, "Congratulations! I'm so happy for you." And you really are. You are genuinely joyful on their behalf. It's a vicarious joy, we might say. Something different here. There is vicarious joy. There is happiness for Mary, but there's also a joy that isn't on behalf of anyone else. It's on your own behalf. It's as if the good news of someone else's birth announcement isn't just their good news, but your good news. Let me show you what I mean. Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth in verse 39. And when they meet, Elizabeth starts firing off blessings. "Blessed are you among women," verse 42 says, "and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Let's go down to verse 45, which we repeat that earlier. "And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." The angel called Mary favored. Now Elizabeth calls her blessed. But we start to see hints that this blessing has a wider target than just Mary alone. Verse 41. "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb." That's John the Baptist doing somersaults in utero. Elizabeth says in verse 44, "Behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." The presence of Mary and the child in her womb is a cause for joy. A leaping kind of joy. And for Elizabeth too. Listen to her own sense of joy, of undeserved privilege, of blessing. Verse 43, she says, "And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" This isn't just good news for Mary. It's good news for Elizabeth, too. And the baby jumping in her belly. And this expansion of favor and blessing only increases in verses 46 to 55. The Magnificat, where Mary breaks out into song like she's in some musical production or a flash mob. She begins by rejoicing in what God has done uniquely for her, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has looked on the humble state of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." John the Baptist has started the celebration, jumping for joy in the womb. Now it's Mary's turn to rejoice. "Look at what God's done for me," she says. "I was just a poor girl. I'm from a place that didn't matter. Bound to be forgotten by history. But God lifted me up. And the blessing that Elizabeth did will be taken up by all the generations. By people who come down to the years." And you and I can call Mary blessed. We don't look to her for grace. We don't pray to her. But we can say, "Yes, blessed are you for this thing, this honor, this privilege the Lord has done for you." But what's really remarkable is what Mary says next. She starts talking about you. Verse 50. "And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Let me make a few observations here. First, notice how she sings about the generations in both sections of her song. She had said in verse 48, "From now on all generations will call me blessed." But now she says in verse 50 that God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. You know what that means? It means that not only do the generations, those who come afterward, not only do they bless Mary, but they are blessed too. The announcement of the birth of Jesus is a proclamation of favor and blessing, not just for Mary, but for the generations, for you. It means favor and blessing for you. What blessing is it? What divine favor is proclaimed to you in the birth of Jesus? Mercy. It's mercy. Verse 50, and his mercy is for those who fear him. Do any of you need mercy this morning for what you've done, for what's been done to you? You have it. You have mercy. Jesus, your King, is here, and it is mercy to you. And the rest of Mary's song describes this mercy of God doing for the generations what he's done for Mary, lifting them up out of their humble estate, filling the hungry, remembering his covenant promises, which he had promised so long ago. And this mercy, this pulling you up out of the dirt kind of mercy, is for those who fear him. The news of Jesus' birth proclaims favor and blessing for those who fear him. Now, what does Mary mean by that? Does she want you to be afraid of God, cowering before him like a whimpering dog with its tail tucked between its legs? No, I don't think that's quite right. To fear God, as the Bible describes it, is very close to what we mean by believing in him. It means to trust him. Not to shrink before him, but to humble yourself before him. To recognize with, not just with your mind, but with your heart as well, that he is God. And you're not. Not to be like those who are proud in the thoughts of their hearts, as he says in verse 51. Or like the mighty in verse 52. Or like the rich in verse 53. But to recognize that absolutely everything you have comes from him. Not by your hand, but by his. To recognize that you don't deserve anything. At least nothing that's good. What you deserve is judgment. But looking to him for mercy, knowing that you have nothing to offer to him. That's what it means to fear him, to believe in him. That person receives blessing. Mercy. So, brothers and sisters, how would you rank yourself on the scale of human achievement? Do you have the Midas touch, where everything you touch turns to gold? You're the best thing since sliced bread, or at least in your own opinion. People take notice of you, or at least they should take notice of you. Is that you? Who Mary calls the proud in the thoughts of their hearts? The mighty who sit on thrones. Is that you? If so, the news of Jesus' birth isn't a proclamation of favor and blessing. What about the rest of you? Those of you of humble estate, in that quaint phrase. The lowly, the hungry, the servants, the unimpressive. Those of you like Mary, with nothing to offer except faith. Faith in a great God. Faith in a God who remembers his promises to his people. Faith in a God who brings down the mighty and exalts the humble. The Christmas message is for you. And those who believe like Mary, the humble like Mary, they get to rejoice like Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, Mary sang. And you get to sing it too. Mary is your temporary worship leader for the moment. She's written a song, she's singing the song, and you get to sing along to that too. Her words are your words. The news of Jesus' birth is a proclamation of favor and blessing for you. So what's the good news? The King has come. It's almost unbelievable, but God does the impossible. For those who receive this news of favor and blessing, those who receive it are those who believe, who fear him. If your Christmas family times are anything like mine, there comes a point where all the presents are distributed to everyone they belong to. They're all there piled under the tree, and each present has a tag or a card identifying where the present goes to. So everything gets passed around. Maybe in your family there's a designated gift distributor. Maybe the family patriarch or matriarch or the host of the gathering. In my family, it's the kids get the job once they learn how to read, once they're big enough to handle the responsibility of making sure the presents get to the right recipients. On one occasion, we decided to do it white elephant style, where you just steal presents from other people, or we call it Dirty Santa in the South, which is a much better name than White Elephant, Dirty Santa. At one point during the evening, there was a collective hush in the room when my aunt stole a present from my grandmother, with Alzheimer's and a bit of a temper. But she took it in great stride. It was a great evening. In this passage, the announcement of Mary's pregnancy, the news that Jesus will be born, is a great gift giving and receiving celebration. God is the giver. And the humble, those who trust in him, who believe in him, they're the ones who receive the gift. A divine present is being distributed to its rightful recipients. And this gift of favor and blessing has your name on it. It's for you. It's a loudspeaker announcement of divine favor and blessing for you. It's for you. Favor and blessing from your Heavenly Father. Mercy, good things from God, and it's all for you who have faith, for you who get to rejoice in him. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you great praise for your Son, Jesus Christ, our King. We pray that you enable us to believe in him, to trust in him, and to receive with unashamed joy the gift that he is for us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.